Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
Garbled Twistery. Hello there, it's Garbled Twistery. Last time we talked about Sammy Johnston, and today we're looking at our fifth candidate for the 1796 election. This guy is the father of all senators who come from Connecticut, which is very fitting on this Father's Day. Who is it, you ask? It's Oliver Twist! Ellsworth. Oliver Ellsworth. All right, roll the tape. Okay, so we're gonna start where we always gotta start. Conception! So our boy Oliver was born in the state of Connecticut, and he went to freaking Yale, but thought everybody there had multiple sticks up their respective tuchuses, so he transferred to Princeton, because that's what you do. And he, like, decided with his buddies to found some weird thing called the Orrin College Host Club. Wait, no. It's actually called the Well-Meaning Club. But that name was dumb, so it was eventually changed to the Theosophic Society. Why the name change? Well, if you're gonna have a reputation as the oldest debate slash literary slash nerd club, I guess you're gonna have to have a super bougie club name, right? So yeah, he graduated, got a BA, the Greek superhero team he was a part of was called Phi Beta Kappa or whatever. So yeah, he's hanging out in his apartment, and his parents come over, and they're all like, what are you gonna do now that you've graduated college, you big college man? And his answer was, quote, well, I googled the most popular careers for rich people in the 18th century, and I decided I want to be a, unquote. I think you could fill in the blank just fine. Yeah. So he married a lady named Abigail, and they had 9 babies! 9 of them! How did they do it? Maybe they were some real health nuts and wanted to have a child for each of the 9 chakras? Hey, you never know. So anyways, it's time for a revolution! And what's our boy Oliver gonna do about it? Well, keep lawyering, obviously, and this guy started from scratch, the hard way. But hey, he got so freaking good at it that the entire state of Connecticut called him into the office and was like, dude, we want you to represent the entire state of Connecticut. So when Continental Con went down, this lawyer man was a shoo-in to represent the state of Connecticut. And of course, he joined a bunch of after-school clubs while there, too, like the Warboat Club and the Economics Club and obviously the Appeals Court Club. And while this freaking war was going on, he was also a part of the after-school club that looked and decided exactly how much Connecticut was going to spend on this freaking war. Yeah! P.S. That means he's one of the guys who left Jorge hanging in the Valley Forge when the soldiers were starving and dying in the cold. Awkward! Okay. And that Appeals Court Club I mentioned just now, they were basically the Supreme Court before the Supreme Court was the Supreme Court. That means the very first states' rights case, he was on it. Yeah. Later, he would join the Safety Club, where he was basically the hall monitor of Connecticut's entire military alongside the governor. He was accepted to be on the Supreme Court of Errors, but that job was too boring, I guess, so he decided to be on Connecticut's Superior Court for a few years instead. So yeah. This guy was basically Lawyer Superman. Okay, so I talked about Continental Con. Now let's talk about Constitution Con. So, Alexander Hammy Tammy hates all this confetti, so he decides to hold a Constitution Con in Philly, and our boy Oliver was obviously one of the 3 peeps Connecticut was gonna send. I mean, all this legal stuff's gonna be a walk in the park for him. He's Superman. No, really. He was out there coming up with brilliant ideas like this one. Quote,
guys, are there any gals out there? No, I don't think so. Guys, I have an idea. Since we're all, like, different states, and, like, when this Constitution album drops, we'll be, like, united. We should, like, call ourselves the United States, unquote. Brilliant.
I mean, like, it was already in the Independence Declaration and in the Articles of Convention, and Thomas Paine wrote the phrase in one of his sassy pamphlets, but I mean, it was Oliver who kept everyone on task and made sure they would always call it the United States. Not national government, not Twinkie Tuesday, United States. Some dude named Morris would add the of America part, which is kind of redundant. Like, we know where we live, but whatever. At Constitution Con, this huge fight broke out between the big fat states and the teeny tiny states over whether representation in Congress should be proportional to the size of the state or, like, you know, actually equal. Yeah. But he was part of the team who was like, quote, "You know what? You know what? I'm sick of this passive-aggressive nonsense. Here's what we're gonna do. Shut your mouth. Here's what we're gonna do. The Senate will be equal. Everybody gets two. The House of Reps, that'll be proportional, okay? Okay? Can we shut up about it now?" Unquote. Yeah, another big argument that broke out was this whole "are slaves people" thing. The answer everybody compromised with, but probably didn't genuinely believe, was kinda 3/5 of slaves are people, I guess. I mean, Oliver voted for the compromise probably because he was tired of arguing about it. I mean, he took the floor twice already and was like, quote, "Look, I don't have any slaves, and from over here in Connecticut, this slavery thing looks like it goes against literally everything we're trying to do here," unquote. So yeah, Oliver had to leave the convention early and stuff, so he couldn't sign the Constitution. But he did write some essays hyping it up and stuff, which is honestly more helpful, because some people were not drinking this vintage Constitution Kool-Aid. So yeah, later on, our boy Oliver would be one of the first senators from Connecticut. And not only that, he was basically being so bossy that one could probably call him a prototype of the Senate Majority Leader. And he was super chill with the Federalist side of the fence as well. Like, Johnny Adams called him a pillar of justice. Well, he didn't use those exact words, but you get the general point. He had some enemies too, though. Aaron Burr, the cold man, thought R. Oliver was a petty waste of space. Quote, "I swear, if this Oliver person were to make a typo, there would be 3 weeks of deliberation, a press conference, 18 news segments, 7 damage reports, and a memo about it," unquote. And that's not the worst of his enemies. Some senator man named William McClay was all like, quote, "He runs his mouth and he has no principles. Somebody ought to knock him down a few pegs," unquote. But I mean, the only reason McClay thought that was because Oliver was probably an introvert. What do I mean? Well, Oliver really enjoyed using private negotiations to find a way to an agreement a lot more than barging into the public forum and shouting from a soapbox. I mean, I doubt that he was incapable of purchasing a megaphone and shouting, but the fact that he didn't want to handle things that way screams introvert to me. And to William McClay, that scream sounded like a lack of respect for the public forum and the Greeks! Yeah. Unlike the House of Reps, there isn't a super solid record of Senate stuff during the first years. Who knows what was happening? However, he did have a heavy hand in this Judiciary Act, which was super important because it basically organized the whole judicial branch, like separating state and federal courts and all that jazz. Like, Oliver was up late at night working on that first draft, so he's literally at the core of it all. Like, he's probably the guy who wrote in that when a state court is trying to support some unconstitutional nonsense, a federal court can be all like, "No, you're being crusty, stop it, Oklahoma." Yeah, game-changing stuff right here. Like, it was the only authority the feds had for state governments at the time. Game changer. I mean, this was one of the reasons states straight up rejected the Constitution, but once the Senate came around to the idea, Oliver went on to make some other Major League Baseball plays, like the freaking Bill of Rights. And he was also like the chief hype man for Alexander Hammy Tammy's harebrained schemes. Like, he was on at least 4 of Hammy Tammy's committees. I'm talking national debt, the first bank, where to put the capital, all that crazy Alexander stuff we talked about before. He freaking added North Carolina to the states and used a loophole to force Rhode Island to become a state, and he kind of stopped another war with the T-Sippers from happening. No, I'm serious. He marched into Jorge's corner office and was all like, quote, "Yeah, England wants to fight, but I think if you send our boy Johnny J over there, he'll settle it. He'll settle him down. Yeah, he'll do it." And Jorge did that. And it worked. Anyways, 1796 comes around, and Jorge's all like, quote, "Yo, Oliver, Johnny J stepping down, the Senate's not gonna let Johnny Rutledge do the job, and the person I want to do the job doesn't want to do it. You want to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? Free coffee," unquote. Whether Oliver takes the job or not is something I'm not gonna tell ya, cause it's 1796, so who knows? He might be too busy being the president, who knows? I don't. Yes, I do, but I'm not telling you squat, you dig. If you got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, whether the rains down in Africa are actually blessed, you can find Garbled Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbledtwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbledtwistery.net. Next time... Yo, Johnny J, he was just Johnny J when his parents built a ferry. Johnny J, he was designed to view a world. Johnny J, he's gonna catch them all to see Johnny J. See you next time.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Awkward!